Blog Talk Radio.
Go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to AMC Press & Co. We welcome you whether you're on planet Mars. This means aliens can hear us. Brilliant! We wondered where those came from. We were all talking about it in the office. Short notes. Very quickly before we begin, we are an affiliate of Blog Talk Radio Network. We would like to express the views and opinions of the hosts are not shared with any affiliates or sponsors. View discretion is advised.
Ah, yes, and welcome to AMC Press & Co. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This episode is entitled Bach Beaver Pullover Bach Beaver
or Beaver.
And welcome to AMC Press & Co. on this Tuesday evening, as the State of the Union is running, and thank God, Obama is promising to do what he's going to do, and it looks good. Let's just say it. And another thing, we would like you to know that this episode is sponsored by Bieber's Truck Removal Service. Our motto is: if you scream "Bieber" hard enough, Canadians are going to come. This just in. Also, Obama is saving us more on gas. So, put some oomph in your pump. And where can you find us? Well, you can find us at itsmydoodles.com/AMCPress or on Twitter at AMCPress31 and AMCPressNews. You can soon, and I stress the word soon, start buying our merchandise on Zazzle.com. Where can you find that? And that's under AMC Press Pop-Up Shop. That's AMC Press Pop-Up Shop. The folks at Zazzle are awesome. And now, into the show. And our first topic for tonight. Of course,
what?
Justin Bieber has...
Talk about our favorite punching bag.
Well, he's not only a punching bag, but he has begged Comedy Central to basically parody roast him.
Yeah, that's right. He's going to get roasted. Yeah, some people are thinking, oh, no. But some people are like, oh, trying to sound like the late Macho Man Randy Savage. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody in the world is wanting to see, you know, him roasted, but most people want him out of the fucking country.
It's going to be funny as hell, I can tell you that much.
I mean, I think they're going to have a few more deleted extras than normal, you know. I can't wait to do...
You,
So, no, I mean, the thing is it is also that the thing about Justin Bieber is that he is he's a criminal. I mean, that he's a bad boy in his own mind. So, is he doing it for him, or
question is, does he deserve to be roasted?
I think he does. In the fact that he has done more to the pop, to ruin the pop world,
yeah,
than the pop world has come out with hits in this year. I mean,
yeah,
he has. So, you know, so it's not like, it's not like, I guess, the fact that he's going to get deported anytime soon. It's just also the fact that he is more material, and he put out more material for them to roast him.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen is most of the comedians that are roasting him are going to basically say, "We really fucking hate you. Now get out of our country." You know,
Too bad Joan Rivers isn't still here.
Oh, Joan Rivers would have fucking.
Yeah.
Mm.
She. You would have given him a tongue lashing.
I mean, tongue lashing is just the red carpet, the open mouth red carpet to it. I think that most people, when they kind of, you know, when it comes down to it, most people want to see him out of the fucking country. And the only way to do that is to give him a roast. Fine. Give him the presidential pardon, too, at the end of the roast, that says, oh, you're no longer a part of the USA. I would love to see that. That would be the ultimate takedown. You know, the ultimate takedown for him would be that, and I can't wait to see that. You know, but his tweets are ridiculous in the fact that, you know, he said, oh, I made more material for them to roast him. He said, for years now I've wanted Comedy Central to roast me, to get roasted by Comedy Central in March, and now I can before it's my 21st birthday. Does he think that, honestly, you know, honestly, 21st birthday is going to actually happen and he's going to get roasted and everybody's not going to fucking care? That's, I mean,
one does not simply walk into Mordor. I mean, one does not simply ask to be roasted.
No, nobody asks to be roasted. They are roasted. So his one mistake was asking them to be roasted. You know?
You got to earn it.
Exactly. If you, you know, are hated by the United States of America, then what the hell? You know? What the hell? But well, but also there's a side of it that when you are roasted, you go, oh shit, I've made so many mistakes. There's going to be so many people that are going to probably have to create additional seating for this. I mean, I can't wait to see two things happen. One, him get roasted, and then two, him get flaming and roasted on his life. I'd love to see him on a Bieber barbecue, you know, where...
I got one better for you.
What?
Bieber BBQ. Bieber BQ. There it is. Got it. Bieber BQ.
Yeah, but also, if you need mix Bieber with Scooter Braun BBQ, now that would be hilarious. You know, because name Scooter Braun sounds like a Nazi. You know, Scooter Braun, yes? Do we have Heineken there?
Sound like a name of a dog, like, say, come here, Scooter Braun, come here, good girl.
It's like, come here,
good boy. Braun, hello.
Come here.
Good boy.
Come here. Sit, Scooter. Yes. Good dog. I know you're a shih tzu, but who cares? Who cares? You know, I don't care. And he's French too, or he's German and French. So he's like, oh, yes, Scooter. Yeah, oh, whoa. You know. Scooter Braun. You know. But then Scooter Braun has Scooter Braun, if you know what I mean. But it is kind of great that he's doing his utmost to do the most self-imposed exile. You know, I think he wants to be kicked off America because the only thing that he could ever stand for is a Calvin Klein mask. You know, he doesn't even know in that picture. It looks like he doesn't even know what he's doing. You know, the model probably said, oh my God. And, you know, oh my God, get off of me.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
Exactly. Get off of me. Get off of me. Get the fuck off of me. Get off of me. You
don't
know.
Tease me, bro.
What?
Boy, that was a dusty gem. Don't tease me,
more
bro.
Like, my God. More like, no homo, bro. No homo. But, at the same time, you know, Calvin Klein, you know, Pepsi ads, that sort of thing, there are far more there are far more things that, you know, pop royalty actually have the privilege of doing. You know, not just in a fucking Calvin Klein ad. You know, forget, it could have been Hanes. It could have taken Michael Jordan's spot, but then again, who would want to take Michael Jordan's spot? You know, the guy gets paid too much to do what he does, but yet, that's in the 1990s. I don't know if he's still sporting that, because I haven't seen any recent adverts. But, you know, it is absolutely even more interesting to see everything kind of, you know, go into a landslide of, please make fun of me so I can get out of the U.S. You know. Kind of thing. But it is great in the fact that we will make fun of Bieber. It's just a matter of now, how do we put it on the website? And we can't tell you that because the things are not up yet. When they are up, we will let you know. It'll possibly be in a few weeks. In other news, let's see. Remember the person you originally spoke up for the Able Act? Well, she was rather shocked when she got an invite to from Obama to appear. Her name was Sarah Wolf, and she got offered a special invite and a special thanks by Bob Casey, who is the Democratic PA governor, Senator Bob Casey,
yep.
And invited Wolf to sit in the U.S. House gallery next Tuesday, that's tonight, to watch President Obama deliver the State of the Union address. Wolf helped Casey to get the bill passed that he helped with those with disabilities, and Wolf had this to say for herself, which was, "I'm very surprised and excited at the same time," who's of Moscow, PA, on Monday. "This is my first time. I'm very excited, a little bit nervous, but very excited. The Achieving a Better Life Act, that's the ABLE Act for short, allows people with disabilities to save money on taxed accounts, similar to the tax advantage accounts used by families who can save for college. This act also allows for Americans with disabilities to save money for education, housing, transport, and health services without losing any individual government eligibility for any government programs. The bill was passed in the House on the 3rd of December, voted by 404-17, and in the Senate was a provision that was part of a larger tax bill that was passed 76-16. Obama signed the bill into law December 20th, that was just before Christmas last year, and I call it making history. History in the making, with Down syndrome, and is very important for people with disabilities, Down syndrome, autism, etc. And now they can save money for their future. In case you wanted to offer Wolf, honor Wolf because of her advocacy, and she kept in focus on getting the bill passed with the catchphrase, "Stay pumped," she said. And Wolf testified with the bill in the state hearing in July. If she wasn't leading this, she was the one leading the voices in the country for the passage of the ABLE Act, and I wanted to acknowledge her contribution, which was substantial, and she was a personal witness, which is very compelling. Well, yes, I agree with Mr. Casey, because if you go on to ABLE Act, search Sarah Wolf in Google, you will find her testimony, and it's very cool, and it's very groovy that she's doing this, or she got invited. It's great. Now, it's also a matter of the fact that it's proof that this country still has a democracy, that you can still make a difference, like we're making a difference with the show. It's a great thing. It's a fantastic thing. That you can do that. The other thing about it is that this will be enacted. I think the bill was passed in the law, but we're still getting updates of whether the ABLE Act should be going into banks. We don't know when that will be, but we'll update you on that because we will have this account. So when we get the notice, the info, you'll get the info. Also, that the... You know, the greatest thing about Obama in his State of the Union speech is now he's trying to now go for the middle class, which is a relief because now the U.S. job market has more solid footing than 6 to 7 years ago. 7 years ago, we were in quite a crisis.
We were in quite a pickle.
He pushed the pay leave with minimum wage and pay the equity. He also pushed the ISIS war authorization, but won't say if he will send the language to Congress. He said he has no more campaigns to run because he won both of them. He then says that that if we don't speak up often enough about our labor unions and the role of collective bargaining in the U.S. economy, that is, unless he is speaking to a crowd of unions, a union crowd somewhere, and is on the campaign trail. But the president has offered a rare hat tip to the organized labor during the State of the Unions on tonight, that we still need laws that strengthen rather than weaken the unions and give American workers a voice. Because, well, all of our trade embargoes have gone overseas. So only the offices are in the United States. And it's time, I think, for more made in the USA to come back. Especially in parts of Pennsylvania and parts of New York and parts of Michigan and parts of California, you know, that it has to come back. He also said very fast that Boehner doesn't clap for marriage equality, and that's not a surprise. But the thing is, imagine, I think the theme of his speech is, imagine if we did something different, you know, if we turn the page, you know, then, brilliant, you know, the fact that we also said that he also quoted about the energy strategy, that we have more energy, and he's also calling for more criminal justice reform, obviously, because of Ferguson, and that's brilliant. And he said, in terms of women getting paid more for their jobs, it says, this is why Congress still needs to pass a law that makes sure a woman is paid the same as a man for doing the same job. It's 2015, not 1936 or 1926. You know, you know, and it's kind of the best thing. It's happening right now on each of the news channels, so if you want to watch, please do. And then it will probably be on YouTube and Huffington Post tomorrow and all the news outlets. So whatever news outlet you turn into, if you turn into a news outlet across the seas or around the world, tune in, watch, and you might not care about the U.S., but we're doing some stuff over here that is fantastic. You know, and here's proof of that. Now it's above the law to actually change it and go forward, not backward. You know, go forth and do. Now, also, in our news, getting back to the program,
Let's go in a different direction.
That in Marietta, Georgia, a man was sighted by a policeman outside Atlanta for eating a cheeseburger while driving. Now, this isn't dissimilar to texting while driving or placing a phone call while driving. But at the same time, we don't know whether it was an In-N-Out burger, a Chubby Checker burger, a
I can tell you it probably wasn't an In-N-Out burger.
It definitely wasn't an In-N-Out burger. I was not an In-N-Out burger or a Pink's hot dog. Now, if a police officer pulled over a citation for that, that would be criminal. You know, they might as well be wearing the fucking jumpsuit already. But yes, it's true. Say it isn't so, Joe. Ah, say it isn't so. It isn't so. Anyway, you can't. Turner said to the officer who's lying down eating the cheeseburger for 2 miles, said, told the man, you can't just go down the road and eat a hamburger. The ticket was issued. And the subsequent episode of the ticket went like this. Sir? Sir? Yes? Can I have your license and registration, please? Yes. Your name is Turner Madison? Yes. Officer, what seems to be the problem? Pulling you over for eating the cheeseburger. Why? Because it's unlawful and you've been doing it for 2 miles. It's sort of like speeding, you know. But at the same time, you know, we can't even tell if it was medium rare or not. We can't even tell if it was McDonald's, Chubby Checker, or In-N-Out Burger, or the Pink Burger. If it was either In-N-Out Burger or anything else, Excuse me?
Must be for that McDonald's.
Yeah, or it was from that nasty burger McDonald's. But, sir, where was it from? McDonald's. Okay, so we can rule that it's not an... What?
Looks like a double quarter pounder with cheese.
Yeah, so we can rule that it's a what?
Double quarter pounder with cheese.
Yeah, it's a double quarter pounder with cheese. So that's a double quarter pounder with cheese spotted for 2 miles. And 2 miles of... seeing your face while driving. Citation 454. Here you go. You may keep on driving. God damn it! Come on! The judges! Get a ticket for a cheeseburger in your mouth? Why, yes, soon I did. I just got a cheeseburger, a ticket for a cheeseburger in my mouth. As a cheeseburger in my mouth. You can't throw that ticket away, can you? No, I can't, sir. I really can't. Well, anyway, the thing is that, you know, most people marry a daughter, you know, kind of really, they don't always get it, but they really do. I mean, you know, they totally do. But, you know, sometimes a cop really needs a cheeseburger. That's the case. Then you gotta pull one over. I guess. But now we have, I think now more than ever, we have stupidity on surveillance. Because then in Florida, a teen was charged pretending to be a doctor for a month and wasn't charged. Well, this happened in West Palm Beach, Florida. You know, at St. Mary's Medical Facility, and has agreed not to charge the teen that they caught posing as a doctor. Now, when I last checked, that's imitating the medical profession. You know, right, Johnny?
Right.
But he wasn't posing as a normal doctor. He was posing as an OBGYN. In an examining room. And had anesthesiology tests in front of it. And security guard told the police that he had seen a teen around in the hospital for a month, and another teen entered secured areas of the hospital this week. This teen told the police he'd been a doctor for years, and the teen's mother told the police he's under the care of a doctor, and is not taking his medicine. Leave it to mom to say, listen, he's under the care of a doctor, he's ill. You know. I think it just means that you can do almost anything. You know, in this country. And get away with it. You know. And, yeah.
Still here.
And then also, a woman vowed to give up yoga pants to honor thy God and husband. Now, if this isn't a sin against, or perjury against God, I don't know what is. And she wrote with, weighted heavy on her heart for several months. I was inspired to wear leggings in public because of her religious beliefs, the decision, she wrote was that it weighed heavily on her heart for several months and was done to inspire fewer lustful thoughts in men. Okay, I can agree with that on one point because I am a guy. But also, the apparently discussion about skin-tight garments led Partridge's husband to confess that it's not hard to look when he goes somewhere filled with legging-clad women. I try not to, but it's not easy, according to her blog. And the revelation that guys might be checking out Partridge's spandex bong is what led the 25-year-old to quit leggings and yoga pants. And she says that it has been weighted on her, and she didn't want people to gawk at her. However, it's perfectly reasonable to desire. However, the Partridge decision sounds like a censure from her own discomfort, but because she feels personally responsible for not indicating sinful thoughts in men. And she said, it's difficult when my husband, who loves, honors, and respects me, and respects his eye focused ahead, then how much more time could it be for a man that may have the same self-control? Sure, if a man wants to look, they're going to look, but why entice them? Is it possible for the thin, form-fitting yoga pants or leggings to be made, could make a married or a single man look at women the way he should look at his wife? And after spending a couple of weeks on the sand blade, she writes, co-signs is clear. She's feeling honored by God and her husband by the way I dress. Incidentally, this ad, which is currently appears in the next post on Partridge's site, says that, well, Partridge's essay has drawn plenty of mockery and even anger from those who feel her anti-legging stance is ridiculous. Her line in thinking appears to be shared by many school administrators nationwide. Leggings are banned in middle schools and high schools and throughout the country, sometimes under the premises of not distracting male students. and parents at middle school Evanston, Illinois, have spoken out against the dress code last year by saying that it is an antiquated, warped message. I agree. That shifts the blame from boys' behavior or lack of academic concentration directly onto the girls. And? Who cares? We don't care. I'm sure Allison would beg to differ. But she will be in sometime this week. We do not know when. However, also, tonight, our final story of the night.
What?
Actually, close to final story. Is that also on Disability Scoop, there was a service, a dog dispute complaint. A service dog dispute complaint. Well, the service dog dispute complaint prompts civil rights complaint. Well, Mr. John McDonald's service dog is by his side whenever the six-year-old with autism leaves his Sherwood, Oregon home. So it was confusing to both boy and dog, Kai, when John and leave his Labrador outside the doors of Middleton Elementary School. Apparently what happened was that the Sherwood School District had refused to allow John's instructional assistant to oversee the dog while she was on a one-on-one with the boy in the class, saying that the family must supply the handler for the dog. John's mother, Jennifer McDonald, said that the family cannot afford a handler and she cannot quit her job to sit in a classroom to hold a leash for a dog, occasionally giving him commands. On December 15th of last year, the family's attorney Elizabeth Pole, filed a civil complaint with the U.S. Department of Justice, claiming that the district had violated John's rights under Title II of the Americans with Disability Act and Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. John's nonverbal tendency is runs when his anxiety gets the better of him, and because the boy has no sense of danger, his parents worry that he will slip away from his aid and run outside the school. McDonald said to Kay, who's tethered to John with a belt harness, not only physically keeps the boy from running, but also claims that he is at a point where he doesn't want to run and allows him to have better focus in class. So his attorney, which Con Lee, had not seen a copy of the complaint and couldn't comment on its contents, but the district's position hasn't changed. The district also says that, also cites the Americans with Disabilities Act in its argument, saying that the regulations state that a school district is not responsible for the care or supervision of a service animal. Bullshit! You are responsible for a service animal. It's actually in the Americans with Disabilities Act. You are responsible for anything that person has, which includes, or might not include, a service animal. However, it is not a mandate, school says, and the school just can choose to allow the staff to assist a student by acting as a handler or a service dog, and another district is allowed to act as an aide to handle Kay when John is at school's attends that. The Cohen Lee said the family demonstrated for him, district administrators, how the handler works with the dog. The staff person would have to take the leash and issue verbal commands to the dog to get it moving from one area to the other. Normal cues like move, or please move, or go time, or sit time, or roll over time. However, the dog will just stare at you as if you're an idiot. By probably saying, you want me to what? What do you want me to do? Roll over? I don't do that. I don't do the dog thing. No. Slap the fucking, you know, staff person. But yet, it went back to the fact that Cohen Lee said it helps solidify the district and the assistant would be providing the care and supervision of the dog. And he says that the place places an additional burden on the aide to the handling of the dog while the attention to the educational needs of the boy. Now, McDonald's rebuttal to this is that stated in a 12-page complaint of which highlights include Paulet stated that the restriction of the care and supervision of service animals does not apply in educational settings. In addition, Paulet noted that Kay is a trained referencing from eating and drinking during the day and doesn't seem to have relieved himself. And then the ADA prevents charging newborn disabilities fees to cover the cost of the program and successfully reasonable modification, especially for service animals. Requiring that McDonald's to pay a private handler would in effect charge the family for using a service dog and forcing the parent to leave work to take on the task to deprive the family's income of the same effect. And then, overall, she said that John's use of the dog extends beyond his special education needs in the classroom. And in order for the service dog to be effective, the consistently spend time with the person being asserted, John may choose a service animal for the rest of his life, and his ability to continue to form a successful bond thus needs his key development. Meanwhile, John continues to attend school without Kay, even though they've been in part of the school since December 8th, and so far the staff has reported that John hasn't had any problems. However, the whole safety thing keeps me up at night, says McDonald. He's a runner, and he might not happen for days or weeks, and then they'll get comfortable. And then, you'll hear your attorney is saying he's gone. He only takes it once. Now, the next steps will be probably presenting potentially a long one from McDonald's as the complaint sits in the Civil Rights Office in Washington, D.C. awaiting review. There's a high volume of complaints about people with disabilities in the small offices to address that. So there is going to be a backlog, says David Knight, through the attorney's office, at the attorney's office of the general, who's also the civil rights coordinator in Portland, Oregon. The team will determine the complaint, if the complaint merits investigation, which should be known as a matter of months. If an investigation is warranted, the district is found to have incriminated or discriminated against the student, the United States could file a lawsuit against Sherwood School District. Typically, however, they'll try to work out a settlement between both parties. Well, we'll see what happens, I guess. We'll hope for the best outcome, I guess. That's the best thing. I mean, in all seriousness, we would wish that this does get reviewed. So we'll let you know on that. Now, I guess it's not quite the end of the show yet.
Nope, definitely not the end of the show yet.
Not yet. Boy. Also, let's see, Story Cults is looking to record the disability experience, which is brilliant. I've done this. I was actually interviewed by Story Cults for ADHD and playwriting. and you can catch that online. However, as part of the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act that approaches this next year, the new park is launching to encourage people with disabilities to share their stories in an effort known as the Disability Visibility Project, which kicks off Monday. And you can go on their website, disabilityvisibility.org. And yeah, and you can do this at any StoryCorps thing. And how you participate is that anybody who records their StoryCorps can have their recording included in the Disability Visibility Project. And the easiest way to do this is to schedule your appointment online. And you can also make an appointment and be sure to mention that the Disability Visibility Project notes in the section on your online reservation when making your appointment. Also, be sure to include any accommodations you may need, such as you might have a in the notes section, which includes two wheelchair users, bringing in American Sign Language interpreter using a communication device. Please note, also, the mobile tour that goes around the United States can only fit one wheelchair user and one non-wheelchair user. However, it's a great thing. I've done it. I was interviewed on NPR, that means, which is great. And you can tell your stories, and you can actually be interviewed. And these interviews, folks, get logged in the Library of Congress, so you're forever a part of history, which is brilliant. You know, hopefully you will be able to, in your 40 minutes of uninterrupted and meaningful time and for a meaningful conversation for a friend and a loved one, you can also you know, there are different questions you can ask, and that's the best part. The best part is, you know, they have one here in New York, I think, but they also have a mobile one, like I said. And yeah, it's a great thing. It's a great non-profit, and they're doing amazing things for America. When I was there, they were doing stuff for veterans of the Army. It's a great thing. It's an excellent, excellent thing. Now, in New York City, there is one at WNYC. There's also one in Brooklyn. It's a great thing to do. It's crossing the courthouses, so, you know, I can't stress on how good it is. However, this brings us to the end of our show, I guess, at least for tonight. And
I guess we can end things a little early tonight.
I think that's allowed.
Yeah.
Well, this episode was produced by AMC Press & Co. Sound with us, Johnny Dubell. Our drivers are Samuel Anderson and Michael Scott Fisher. Again, our intern is Tom Williams. His intern is Jamie Lynn Spears. And Jamie Lynn Spears' intern is Dana Kaplan. Her intern is Stacey Dash. Our show is produced in Speaking to Microphones, and you can find all the information at itsmyurls.com/AMC Press, and soon, shop for us on Zazzle.com. That is Zazzle.com, the place where you can make and create almost anything. And
the name just sounds fun to say. Zazzle.
And what?
And the name just sounds fun to say. Just rolls off your tongue.
And the exactly. The name is fun to say. And it's even more fun when you can actually buy our shit. And we can actually get stuff from you. Or you can get stuff from us. And with that, good night.
Good night, everybody. And
good night. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night.